place we visit is now, it's a kind of a common burden to have fellowship with the working saints in the area. This is definitely I would say, a very strong, heavy burden in the Lord's recovery for the, especially the younger generation, the young working ones, to be helped, to be strengthened, to be encouraged as the recovery advances through time. We are seeing generation after generation is passing by, and at the same time, we are also sensing very much the imminent return of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And it's closer and closer. There is a deep burden within the brothers to be concerned for our next generation. This is just a recording, right? Is it amplified?
Yes.
Okay.
It should.
I think all the nearly all the churches are very much burdened for this matter, for the second generation to rise up, to be perfected, to become useful. I'm sure here is the same. You know, that's why the brothers to arrange to have this time. And I was seeking very much for the Lord what to say. I surely don't have much burden to so-called give a message, another message, or outlines. Actually, I would like to hear from you, from you as working ones, young families, some of the challenges that you are facing, and I hope that we can have even some kind of some fellowship from you, so I can even get some better understanding of where you are, that we can have fellowship. So we should not consider this as another message meeting as such. Really, it's a time of fellowship among ourselves.
Amen.
And seeking the Lord together, you know, how to go on.
Amen.
You know, this is a kind of an example of what I said yesterday as a leaf and branches type of fellowship. You know, this is not what we call the main trunk or the central line. You know, the touching the things of crucial importance, you know, the central line items of God's economy, the triune God, and so forth. But in all the churches, we have to take care of these various needs. Yesterday afternoon, evening, we had a fellowship with the sisters. This, again, is another leaves and branch that we have to take care of. Hopefully, is still in the light of, in the emphasis of, with the emphasis of God's economy, right? But in the church life, we have to take care of so many things. We have to take care of, we have the need for fellowship concerning our young people, the care for them, to care for our children, elementary age school children, and college students, and so forth. But these are all leaf and branches, line of fellowship. But hopefully we are still staying within the context and the focus of the central line. And, I can begin this fellowship. As I mentioned that I was just quite touched recently with these verses from Hebrews chapter 2, and maybe I can just begin the fellowship from these verses, and maybe there can be some fellowship from you a little bit later. So we know Hebrews is a book consists of a number of warnings, five or six warnings. And before sometimes before, sometimes after. These warnings were given after a certain truth was presented. And what we read this morning was is the first warning in the book of Hebrews. After chapter 1, what do we see in chapter 1 of Hebrews? We see a glorious scene, right? Paul presented to us who this Christ was. He was so excellent.
Amen.
Right? He is God.
Amen.
He is from eternity to eternity. He is a glorious one. He is superior than Moses. He is superior, more excellent than the angels. I mean, he was, in chapter 1, we see such a glorious presentation of this wonderful one who is eternal, who is divine, who is excellent, who is superior. Then, what do we see in chapter 2? We see in chapter 2 his being a man, including what he did. In chapter 1, we are more seeing concerning Christ's glorious person, who he is. But then in chapter 2, the apostle went on to show us he became a man. He became lower than the angels. The one who was more excellent than the angels, he became lower than the angels. He came to suffer. He came to bear the shame. He came to carry out the work of redemption. So while in chapter 1, we see a picture of glory, in chapter 2, we have a picture of shame. We have a picture of suffering. Right? So, and in between these two chapters, we have this warning inserted at the beginning of chapter 2. That Paul, who was the writer, warned us. Now he began by saying, therefore, having seen all that was presented to you in chapter 1 concerning the glorious person of Christ, therefore we ought to give heed more abundantly to the things which have been heard. You have seen that. You have seen such a glorious vision concerning Christ. What are you going to do about it? So the apostle warned us here, therefore, having seen that, having heard that, we need to give abundantly, give heed abundantly to the things which have been heard. Saints, have you heard? Haven't you heard? Right, I believe this morning I'm not talking to a group of new believers. I believe many of you have been in the recovery for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, maybe on to 40, 50 years. And in these years in the church life, you have heard very much, right? You've come to conferences, you've come
Amen.
To trainings, you have heard much.
Amen.
Now the apostles' concern is that having heard that, you need to give heed more abundantly to these things which have been heard, lest perhaps we drift away. Well, you've heard, but then you have to give heed. That means you have to pay attention. If you don't pay attention, you just listen, you heard, and then 1 year in, 1 year out, and it just keeps going on. You just want to hear more, and it leaks out more, and you just keep drifting. The apostle wrote this book of Hebrews to a group of believers with a particular kind of background. Right? These were Hebrews, who were familiar with Judaism. They were in Judaism. But also, so they were familiar with the Old Testament. But then one day they also received Christ. Now they are familiar with the New Testament, with the New Testament faiths. They have believed Christ. They have put behind them the Old Testament law, the Old Testament the Judaism. Now they enter into the New Testament faiths. So Paul realized that there is a danger with this group of Hebrew believers. They have something, they have given up something behind them. And they have something also, there is something that lies before them. Amen. They have to enter into it. At this juncture, he encouraged them. These are Hebrews, right? And we know from the life study training, Hebrews, they are river crossers. They cross river. They have crossed from that side to this side. They left Judaism. Now they are on the other side. They are in the New Testament now.
Amen.
But how are they going to go forward? Just because they left Judaism, they left Old Testament, doesn't mean that they are totally free. There's something, some of the things may still haunt at them, may still try to pull them back. They are kind of, these Hebrews are somewhat in a strait between two choosing. They could go back. In fact, many are kind of, they were in a state of wavering. Oh, it's just too much suffering, too much, to be a Christian, to be a believer, and too much persecution, too much suffering. Much better to just go back to our tradition, to our, this is what we are familiar with. This is much more we are comfortable with. So there's always that struggling within these believers. And the apostle wrote this word to them, to encourage them, don't drift away. Amen. You have already heard. You have already seen something. You have received something. Now the danger is, if you don't press on, you are a river crosser. You have already crossed the river. You have left the other side behind. But there is still a possibility for you to go back if you don't press on. If you don't come forward. If you don't exercise yourself, there is a danger of drifting away. So I found this background very meaningful. And I consider even, many of you, working saints, some are younger, some are a little bit older. In the stage of life that you are establishing your career, building up your career, raising your family. You also, at the same time, you love the Lord. You want to serve Him, go on, with the Lord in the church life. Many times you find yourself in a position of, in a strait between two choosings, or even many choosings, right? How should I go on with all these pressures applied on me? From all sides, right? From the side of the job, the side of the church, the side of the family, your own family, the relatives, and it's just you want to find a breather, you want to find a secret, you want to find a shortcut. But I tell you, dear saints, there's no shortcut. I'm kind of observing, sometimes at the end of, not the training, at the end of, or during the summer, semi-annual training, we call for some gathering for the fellowship with the working saints, and sometimes conferences. I question. There's so many things that you can gather and try to hear more. What is the way? What is the secret? As a working saint to go on with the Lord. On the one hand, I appreciate the seeking, the desire, you know, learning to, wanting to learn how to go on with the Lord. But on the other hand, you have to realize there's no particular secret to help you get through your family situation, your work situation. The situations are going to keep coming to us. And we are not God. We cannot change your environment. The environment will keep coming on us. Right? And thank the Lord, and we have to see as a working one, that every situation, every environment that comes to us is measured by God. Amen. Is sovereign by
Amen.
And we need them.
Amen.
We need the kind of family pressure. We need the kind of work pressure. Amen. We need the kind of pressure even in the church. So it's too much to bear. You know, Brother Nee had this hymn, you know, without pressure, you know, the olive will not squeeze out the oil, right? They're saying, we all need to be squeezed. We are like the olive being put in a press.
Amen.
Or the vine, or the grapes. You need to be pressed so that the wine can be produced. The oil can come forth. Christian life is not just about praying and reading the Bible and attending conferences, praising the Lord every moment. Christian life, as I mentioned even this past weekend, is a living, right? It is in the course of our carrying out our daily duty, right? As a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, even grandfather, grandparents, as children, and as a worker, employee, as a boss, whatever, is in the course of our carrying out our daily life. By God's sovereignty, He measures to us different environments. We are not all the same, right? Some may be a little, maybe seemingly a little easier, some a little harder. But you have to thank the Lord for every environment.
Amen.
The Lord gives you.
Amen.
Don't despise them. Don't try to push them away. You know, everyone always look at the grass greener on the other side. Right? Like, how come my grass is so yellow? Always the grass is greener on the next side. I wish to be in his boat. I wish to be in her shoe. Let me tell you, dear saints, you are in the best shoe. You're in the best boat. Really?
Amen.
The children, the spouse you have, the children you have, the kind of job you have. You know, it's sovereignly designed by God to help you to become mature in life.
Amen.
Help you to go on to gain Him.
Yeah.
And even more for Him to gain you.
Amen.
But here these Hebrews, they were in this strait between many choices. And the apostles' word here was to encourage them to take heed. In one sense, he did not give them any kind of secret, any special formula. He just warned them, you have heard so much, you have been shown the New Testament faith, and you have decided to be a Christian, but you have also many things in the background, still there, that may be still haunting at you. Try to catch you back. You need to take heed more abundantly. More abundantly with the things that have been hurt by you. Lest you drift away. And this word drift is very meaningful. This is what I very touched with is this word in the Greek is para rule. I think this is the Greek word is that's the para rule.
It means a leaking. Leaking. And it is also, it means a kind of drifting. Right? Some translation translates as kind of leaking, leaks away. Or some translate it as a kind of drifting away. But they both, this word has carries both of those meanings. So the apostle charged the believers that if you don't take heed, that you will leak away what you have heard. Then he said what? That how shall, if the word, in verse 2, if the word spoken through the angels prove firm and every transgression disobedience receive a just recompense, how shall we escape if we have neglected so great a salvation? There's a great salvation lie before us. And this salvation is not referring to your salvation from hell, from perdition. No. This great salvation in the context of Hebrews refers to who this wonderful one is and all that he has done to be a portion for us to enjoy. Amen. We are his partners. We are his sons. We are his partners to inherit such a great salvation. This wonderful person and the wonderful work he has accomplished. Not just redemption, not just to be saved from hell. That is a small part, a little part of that salvation. There is so great a salvation God has prepared for us. How shall we escape? Right? if we neglect such a great salvation, if we drift away, then we would have neglected, we would have given up the enjoyment of this great salvation God has prepared for us. This matter of drifting, paro, is a critical matter and is a practical matter to those Hebrew believers at that time, and I believe today, you know, to all the working ones, you have heard. You have seen something of God's economy. You have left the world behind. You have left the sins behind. Now you want to go on with the Lord, but it's not easy because of all these challenges. And sometimes even the things of the world are still trying to pull you back, right? Oh, you have to take care of your job, take care of your career, take care of your family. All these things are trying to pull us back. Well, this word firstly means leakage. If you have a cup, you know, has a little pinhole underneath, and you fill a glass with water, that cup with water, you go from one end of the room, you go to the other end. By the time you get to the other end, probably half of the water is gone. You know, in the Lord's recovery, I feel... you know, conference after conference, meeting after meeting, we all have heard so much. We all have received so much. But the question is, how much have we allowed it to leak out of us? How much have we are able to retain and keep them, right? I mentioned in the conference that you know, as overcomers, the main thing, the key thing with them is to hold fast what they have. That no one would take your crown. The ones who fail, the ones who don't overcome are the ones who have given in to the environment, to the degradation, and started going downstream with them. But the overcomers, they hold fast. Doesn't mean that they are excelling. Doesn't mean that they are superior. But they just stood firm. They hold fast what has been given to them. They continue in what they have heard from the beginning. This is what is needed today. As working ones, well, I've seen, in the full-time training in Anaheim, I've seen, trainees come in. They are, most of them are singles, and they are burning. They give themselves to the Lord, and after 2 years of training, then they graduate, either to go back to work, go to further schooling, or some gone to serve full time. And initially is still quite good. But then I have also found, but gradually, it doesn't matter, even some of the ones serving full time, gradually there is a kind of a slow leaking, right? And they're not as vital as they used to be. And then, especially after they get married, especially after they have children, that becomes a real challenge. Actually, the marriage is not that bad, okay? You just add another companion. Actually, it's quite good. They encourage, mutually each other to pursue the Lord. But then when they start to have a child, oh, the whole world is upside down. Suddenly the whole scene change, right? I mean, you can't keep up with your regular schedule anymore. You don't know when to get up, when to go to bed. What is this? And suddenly, you always be able to go to the meeting faithfully, and you're able to function, and suddenly you find yourself just exhausted. You can barely hold keep your eyes open because you have not slept all night. The baby was, it was cranky and colicky, and then you can't sleep, and then you're barely, if you can make it to the meeting, you barely made it with your eyes closed. You're exhausted, and then you're in the middle of the meeting, you got called, oh, your baby is still crying, and then you had to run out in the middle of the meeting. It was just your perfect, heavenly church life, you just suddenly vanish, where is it? Is some of the sisters I know some of the young mothers that this is the end of my Christian life and church life. This is the end. I don't see any hope in sight, at least for another 15 years, 18 years. I'm seeing this is woe is me. This is for the rest of my life. Well, dear saints, this may be your view, but this does not have to be this way. Right? God has given to us so great a salvation. You have to take heed, right? Not to allow the leakage. Brother Nee actually spoke quite a strong word to some Christians concerning why Christians tend to leak out the things that they have heard. Because he spoke very strongly and bluntly to them, because you don't have a heart. Where is your heart? Well, to say you don't love the Lord, I think that is not fair, because I believe there is some love for the Lord. Otherwise, we would not be here. We come to the meeting, we want to hear the word. But a love to him is not so absolute. It's not so definite. It's not so firm. While on the one hand, we are loving the Lord, at the same time, we may still give room to consider other things. When you were a student, or when you were in the full-time training, things were simpler, right? But then when you get into the working world, you are receiving, you know, all the enticement from your employer with the bonuses, with the promotions, with all the things they lure before you. Oh, you have a lot more things to think about now. Formerly, you just come home, go to school, come home, study, go back to, you know, as a student. The life is very simple. You're just looking forward to the graduation finish. You know, that's rather simple. And the trainees are very simple. Actually, the full-time training, we always call it, it's a big bubble. A perfect, beautiful, wonderful, heavenly bubble. And the trainees, just in 2 years, you just from 6 o'clock in the morning to 10:30 at night, you don't have to worry about what to do. You just follow the schedule. You just go to the meeting, stay under the waterfall, and you're going to get wet. You're going to get the supply, right? Every day. I mean, isn't that true? I mean, Sister Angela, right? You were in the training not too long ago. Isn't that right? I mean, the training is just a wonderful place. But you cannot be in this bubble forever, right? We don't have a full life training in that sense. It's a full-time training only for 2 years. And after 2 years, you have to go on from there. We realize that. We realize the training is not the so-called real life environment. It's a environment that is to help the trainees to be trained, to be perfected, right, undistracted. So the Lord provided a wonderful environment. But we recognize that is not the representing the real life situation. We hope that through the training you'll be supplied, strengthened, perfected to get you ready to face the real life situation. The leakage has to do with your heart. Is your heart a divided heart? When there is a, you know, of course, physically, you know, there's a some babies are found born with a hole in the heart, right? There's a hole in the heart, and causing the, you know, there's a mixing you know, some problem, you know, in the whole operation. When your heart begins to be divided, your heart not able to focus. You started worrying about this, worrying about that. When you're in the training, all you just think about is, you know, to enjoy the Lord, to gain the Lord, to pursue the Lord. Your heart is not divided. Then the Lord can go on in you. But then when you step into the so-called real world, you're faced with all these different things staring at you, try to lure you. You consider them, how do I succeed in this in my career? How do I try to get more promotion? Well, your heart sometimes in just unconsciously got divided. There is a cleavage in your heart, which was once single, simple toward the Lord, but now there is a cleavage. There is a gap starting to widen in your heart. While on the one hand you have some part of your heart for the Lord, to love the Lord, but also along with that you have other consideration. And dear saints, this actually is where the real problem lies. Your leakage is not because of your mental ability. You cannot remember all the spiritual things. The leakage is because of the lack of the heart. The heart that is focused, the heart that is pure toward the Lord. I always enjoy Matthew 5:8, that the Lord told us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If our heart is pure, you will see the Lord in every situation.
Amen.
We don't see the Lord. You know, many times, saints came to me for fellowship, you know, to make certain decisions in their life, you know, they want to seek God's will concern in their life. Should they go here? Should they go to pick up a job? Should they go to this school? Should they serve the Lord? The more they pray, the more confused they get to all these choices, you know. So they can try to get some advice, you know, so they can get some clear direction. No one can really give you, no human being can really give you a direction. No one should give you a direction. The problem is with your heart. You are confused because your heart is divided. The Lord's word says clearly, when your heart is single, your heart is pure, you will see God in every situation. I once found myself this is years ago, as a young person, I was in this state of making a decision, and I prayed, just like many of you, seeking, Lord, which way should I go? Should I go this way, that way? I prayed and prayed. The more I prayed, the more confused I got. The more I prayed, the more, I just don't know. I tried to weigh that. I'm just trying to, which is more profitable, which is, you know. So then when I came to the Lord, one day suddenly the Lord reminded me of this verse in Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart. I began to pray over that verse. The more I pray, I was convicted. I said, Lord, my heart is not pure. Actually, I already had some preference over a certain direction. You know, kind of religiously, I tried to seek the Lord, seek His will, but underneath my heart, I had certain preference over a certain direction already. But I just wanted to get some approval, right? You know, sometimes we try to, you know, we I know we're all the same. We are all birds of the same feathers, and then we like to seek out fellowship. And I know certain brother may favor certain, I'll find some brother to fellowship. I don't want to talk to Brother Timothy because I know he is always saying no to me. And I'll find out another brother, a fellowship, that he'll sympathize with me. And then I get confirmation from the body to go certain direction. You know, that's us. We are so smart. We know how to find a way that will, you know, make my preference turn out. And we'll just pray, thank the Lord for the confirmation of the body. And then, when we somewhat, try to bribe our conscience. I have done the fellowship, and then, the Lord is with me, and then you go. So I was convicted by the Lord, then my heart was not pure. So then the Lord touched, forget about praying for that anymore. Don't pray about that matter anymore. Then I just focused, Lord, I repent of just paying so much attention about that decision. I just come back to you. I want to enjoy you. My need is you. It really doesn't matter, go to, you know, A or B or C. To you is the same. Really, I just want to forget about them. I come to you, Lord. What I need is you. So I began to just come back to the Lord, to enjoy Him. You know, interestingly, just after I just come back to the Lord in that way, suddenly the sky just opens up.
Amen.
Inwardly, suddenly I realize which way I should go. I didn't pray for that. But just now, because I'm right with the Lord, I'm now just one in Christ. And inwardly, I knew which way I should go. Then I began to realize, this is, the Lord's word is true. When one's heart is pure, he sees God in every situation. He sees the Lord. You see the Lord. the leakage, the hole, what is this hole in our heart? What is this hole that leaks out what we have heard? This hole lies with the condition of our heart. Dear saints, working ones, I would urge you every day, you pray to the Lord, Lord, guard my heart. I give my heart to you. In fact, you pray the prayer in Ephesians 3:17, Lord, make your home in my heart. My spirit, as the inner man, needs to be strengthened, right? But also, Lord, my spirit, I need to be strengthened into my inner man, my spirit, so that now Christ can make his home in my heart. Guard my heart. Proverbs, I think it's chapter 4, says what? Guard your heart above all that you guard, for out from it are the springs of life. Out from your heart comes all the issues of life. Where your heart is will direct what comes out of it. So every day we have to guard our heart. Don't blame it on your memory or your, I'm not as spiritual or as smart as you are. You know, it can memorize all the Bible verses and all the outlines and all the spiritual matters. No, it's not about your memory. It's not about your how smart or not smart. Because when you talk about the video games, you are very good to memorize all the moves and all the whatever you have to do. You talk about what's in the ball game, who is playing who. You know, you can name off all the players and who is winning, who is losing. But when you ask, well, how many chapters are there in the book of Matthew? 22 or 26? How many books are there in the Bible? Saying, I don't remember. I don't know kind of what's the team here playing. Hockey, you know. Right away, you can name off the players and whoa. You can name off very well. You know, with some... Brother Nee one time said what? He met an old brother, 97 years old. Physically, you know, he could not even remember the name of his daughter-in-law. Many times his memory is fading. And when he went to see him, you know, after greeting him 5 times, he still cannot recognize him. But finally, after 7 or 8 times, he finally had some recognition. This brother was George Cutting, the one who wrote the Security Assurance and Enjoyment, one of the bestsellers, you know, among Christian books. Brother Nee uses this illustration. He said, here's an old person, 97 years old. Physically, memory is all gone. He cannot memorize. But even when he was with him, when Brother was with him, visited him, all he could utter out of his mouth is, Lord, I need you. I know you cannot do, I cannot live without you. And you cannot live without me. That's all he was just uttering. I cannot live without you. Lord, you cannot live without me. I am in you. You are in me. He doesn't remember Brother Nee's name. He doesn't remember his daughter-in-law's name. But he remembered the Lord is in him. He remembers he is in the Lord. I know even for myself, I met, you know, many, you know, older saints. Some are illiterate. They don't, you know, haven't graduated from high school. But they knew the Lord. They love the Lord. Their heart is with the Lord. They cannot read as fast, as smart as we do. But I tell you, when you are with them, they cannot, you know, utter things as well as you do. But they are one with the Lord. And it's strange, somehow these old sisters, they are illiterate in reading the newspaper and things like that, but they read the Bible very well. They can come to read the Bible. I don't know how they do it. And you come to the Bible, they enjoyed it, they read it. You know, you read other things. They could not read it. They have no interest in reading it. But you come to the spiritual matters, they are as bright as a star. They are just... Because this is where their heart is. Right? Are there anything in your career, in your education, in your family, become something that tear your heart apart to create a hole, an opening, to cause the leakage? If the things you heard leak out, not be able to be retained, it's not because our memory does not work so well. It's because there is a cleavage, there is a gap, there is some kind of opening torn by different things. In some cases, of course, even worse will be the sinful things, the sins. When commit, you are loose about your life, you lie easily, you don't speak accurately, truthfully, you try to take advantage of others, your unforgiveness, your offense, of your harbor. So some of these things, the sins also cause your heart to be cleft. So they cause an opening for the life to the riches to leak out. So, dear saints, every day I would urge you that guard your heart. You know, I everyone's situation is different. Everyone, some are very complicated, some are less complicated. And it's up to God to arrange the situation for you. But it's in your control how your heart is. You cannot change your environment, change the boss you are working under, change your family situation. But you can take care of your heart. Guard your heart, right? Don't allow the sinful things to come in. The worldly things, all the lures, all the things in the world to take away, to cleave your heart. Then the second part, second meaning of this word has the meaning of drifting, right? It's like someone floating in the water and, you know, you just, if you just sit on the float, and you just wherever the current carries you, you just drift. One never travel. If you are aiming at a certain destination, you never drift there. Drifting never brings you to your destination. It's only when you are on a holiday, you don't have anything to do, you just sit on the float and let it ride, you know, whereas it's fine, I have plenty of time, But if you want to go on with the Lord, you know, you're here today because you have a heart for the Lord. You want to go on with the Lord. There should be a destiny. There should be a goal in your life. What is your goal? This goal is defined by the vision that we see. This is why, dear saints, in the recovery, we all need to have a strong vision. Especially as working saints. If your vision is not that strong, you merely have some knowledge about something, some knowledge about God's economy, some knowledge about God's eternal purpose, but if that has not become your vision, a controlling vision, then knowledge comes, and then, oh, I forgot, I need to be reminded. The vision needs to be burned into us to become a controlling vision that directs the course of our life. Drifting means that you have no goal. You have no direction. Drifting is easy. It's effortless, right? You just sit there, lie there, lay there, and then let the current carry you wherever it wants to. If you want to go on with the Lord in His economy, you cannot drift. You have to exercise, exert some effort. You say, oh, maybe that's just maybe is my effort. You know, I should let life work, right? I should not be, you know, this is too much of man's effort. Well, I know there is that side, something of man's trying. But on the other hand, let me tell you that God needs you as a vessel, as a channel, to allow Him to pass through you. Jehovah God in Isaiah says what? Whom can I send? Who shall go for us? God has thousands of angels, millions of angels. Who can go for them? Who can do things? He sent Gabriel, He sent Michael, the angels, to do so many things. Why all of a sudden God says, who is the man? Whom can I send? Who shall go for us? God needs man. Why would God need man? God is almighty. He is omnipotent. When He says, it stands. When He calls, it is. Who can resist Him? On the one hand, it's true. God is almighty. He said, let there be light, and there was light. But also, we cannot deny God is very, very much limited by man. He wants to work with man. He wants to mingle with man. Beside the work of creation, which He did directly by Himself, the work of the new creation is altogether a work of God in man and with man. If there was not a Mary, yesterday we talked a little bit with a sister, if there was not a Mary, who would open to the angel's word concerning her conceiving the Holy Child, she says, let it be done to me according to your word. There was a human vessel who opened to the Lord to allow the Lord to do whatever He pleases with her, in her, so that she can be the carrier of this child. God is to be born into humanity. He needs a human vessel to be a channel to Him. So on the one hand, He can do whatever He pleases. But that's not what beside the work of creation, His pleasure, His desire is always to be working with man. I don't know why. None of us know why. But this is what the Bible tells us. In that same principle, why would God ask man to pray? If He already knows it has to be done, why would God need man to pray? When we, familiar with that portion, the Lord was with the disciples and looking at the field, and He says, look, the field is white, ready to be harvested. You need to ask the Lord of the harvest to thrust out laborers. Who was the Lord of the harvest? He was. The one standing next to these disciples, He was the Lord of the harvest. He knew the need. He should do it right there. But instead, He asked those disciples, you have to ask the Lord of the harvest to thrust out the laborers. So even though God knew what the need was, but He would not go about right away to go about to take care of that need until man asked for it. Oh, God is willing to subject Himself, to limit Himself to man, because this is His pleasure, to work in man, to work through man as a channel. He wants a man to sympathize with him, to be one with him, to echo what he wants.
Amen.
So eventually, when man learns to pray, and strictly speaking, what prayer is an echo, just to echo back what God wants to do. When we echo, like the Lord charged us to pray, bind on earth what the heaven has bound, lose on earth what the heaven has loosed, it will be done. Long time ago, I thought the verse should go, bind on earth and the heaven will bow. Lose on earth, the heaven will lose. That's what I thought the verse says. But later on, I read, no, the verse says, bind what the heaven has already bound and lose what the heavens has already loosed. I said, what is this? If the heaven is already bound, why should I need to bind? Then gradually, I come to understand. God wants to work with man. The heaven has already done it, but still it cannot be done on earth until there are men on earth would render him the cooperation and echo back to God, yes, we will bind on earth. What the heaven has bound, then that binding will be worked out, will be carried out on the earth. And what we are binding and loosing on the earth must be what has already been bound and loosed in the heavens. If the heaven has not loosed and bound, you cannot loose and bind on the earth. You cannot ask God to do what he has not done, what he is not ready to do. Man is to be a vessel. Man is to be a channel. God needs man to be a channel for him to flow out. Through all these 6,000 years, God has subjected himself to be limited by man. So, coming back to this leak, the drifting, right? Yes, you need to exercise yourself. You need to make a choice. Lord, I am on your side. Lord, I choose you. Christ and the church is the goal of my life. Otherwise, saints, even though some of you went through the full-time training, don't be offended by me. I say, I don't have assurance. Just because you went through the full-time training, that you are fully ready, you have gotten. Is there a hole in your life? Do you have a definite, clear goal to live for in your life? If not, you will find yourself drifting. Oh, you know, it's just like a piece of fallen leaf in a stream. That leaf just floats, just drift. When you have a family, when you have a job, Who decides that job? Or who directs that job? You let the job direct you, or you direct your job? When you have a family, have a child, of course it's hard work. I mean, you know, some babies are more behaving than others, more cooperative than others. Some are very, they slept through the night very quietly. The Lord is gracious to you, give you a peaceful night. Some babies are just waking up every couple of hours. It just tired out the parents. And I'm sorry, I don't have a way to change that. You know, I'm not God. I cannot change your environment. But regardless of what the environment God measured to you, in order not to drift, you have to have a clear goal. The vision that you see, even those who have gone through the full-time training, you must pray, even, you know, after the training, you must pray, Lord, may what I see be firmly established in me, be firmly fixed in me, to become a controlling element. I need to exercise myself. You cannot just wait for the life to come, so to speak. For that wave to come to lift you up, to wait for that conference, to wait for that training, to wait for that special word of fellowship to lift you up. You can't wait for that. In the midst of that crying baby, in the midst of that demanding boss and your work, you have to exercise yourself and make that choice. Lord, I'm here for you, for your economy. This is the meaning of my life. Don't let the job, don't let your family direct you. Romans 5 tells us we need to be those who, by the abundance of His grace, reign in His life. Sorry to say, I see many young families. Especially the job pressure increases and the family situation's getting more complicated. They don't know what to do. How do I, these are all practical things. Surely, the Lord does not want us to neglect our family. The Lord does not want us to be slothful in our work. But the fact is, who is the one reigning here? Who is the one in control here? You want to live a life for the Lord, unto the Lord. You have to be able to say, the job is not my boss. The Lord is the real boss. They can fire me. They can let me go. Don't be afraid. You will not go begging on the street. The Lord will take care of you.
Amen.
I can testify to you.
Amen.
In all these years, the Lord has not shortchanged me one bit. In taking this way to follow the Lord, you have read, oh, what about my education? I missed this top offer university. So what? The Lord will not shortchange you one bit. He has not shortchanged me one bit.
Amen.
Just a very short testimony. I moved to the Northeast, and I got accepted to a university there, very expensive. That summer, I had a summer job. And Brother Lee suddenly called for a training there in Cleveland. That was on the spirit and the body training. It's in the book. And I never missed Brother Lee's training. That summer, and because of the schooling, it was a miracle they accepted me last minute, and. I got accepted just within in August to start in September. But I have to pay for my way, very high, high tuition. So I said, I have to work hard. I have to make my money to pay the tuition. One day I was driving from where I live to Rhode Island, Providence, for the prayer meeting. And then I was contacting the Lord, in the car. And I was just praying and praying. So the Lord touched me. How about going to the training in Cleveland? But Brother Lee, I said, no, I have to work. I have to pay the tuition. So the Lord just checked with me. There was for graduate school for all my college years. He said, have I shortchanged you anything for the last number of years? Were you short in anything for your tuition, for your college years? And I was deeply convicted. I said, no, Lord. I went through the college. I did well. The Lord provided everything somehow. It got taken care of. So what are you worrying about? So I said, okay, Lord. I broke down in the car without the Lord, just... The Lord, I know the Lord was right there with me. And I said, okay. So the following day, I went to my boss. I told him, I'm going to have an early resignation. I resigned. So, planning to go to the training. I don't know what's going to happen to my tuition. Well, maybe a day or two later, just a couple of days later, I got a call from that professor in that school. He said, he just wants to assure, because I was a very late applicant, and he just wants to assure me, wants to get a confirmation, assurance from me, I'm still coming, because he knew that most of the graduate students didn't have to pay. They have to, based on, you know, assistantship or scholarship, but they have to be obtained much earlier on. But those things all have been given out already. So he just wants to get assurance from me. Are you still coming? We're reserving a place for you. I said, I'm coming. I'm still coming. I told him, even though I don't know where the money is going to come from. Well, he said, I want to get assurance because there is a possibility a grant may come in, but we don't know for sure. But we want to assure first you are coming, whether that's coming or not. I said, yes, I'm coming. So anyway, after I said that, I hung up, and then I think less than 24 hours later, he called me back. And he said, yes, that grant came in. And now we can offer you all the tuition and a monthly stipend to live on. And you know how happy I was at that moment. I knew that was the Lord. I mean, I got accepted, you know, just a month before that, you know, one of the Ivy League schools. And then, you know, I got accepted just last minute. And then the Lord just suddenly just, you know, surely I went to the Cleveland training, very happy, very encouraged. I knew that was the Lord. I have... You know, I don't want to take too much of the time, but just I just want to assure you, dear saints, you have to realize that God has not shortchanged you. Don't let your job, your family, direct you. Even though they are necessary things, you have to do your job well. You have to take care of your family well. But you are not here to be directed by that. You have to train up your child, right? You know, either some baby, just some parents, just they cannot come to the meeting, you know, because the child is not up yet. They're still sleeping. Well, you have to train them. Don't let your child direct your life. Direct your, you know, you have to set the direction. You say, oh, my child is a special one. He has special need. Well, I know there are some special cases, but I would say by and large, most what I have observed is that many of the young parents, they really don't know how to handle the children. And so easily, you know, when you come off from your single life, you know, your just a life without children, suddenly you put into this environment with a job, high demand, you know, a lot of competition. You're afraid you're going to lose your job. You're going to be, you know, how I'm going to pay the rent, how I'm going to live. Saints, as Brother Lee always told us, there has never been one who loves the Lord has to go begging. You don't beg. The Lord provides. You have to trust in Him. Depends on what kind of life you want to live. You want to live a life with 2 feet on two boats? You are enjoying a wonderful church life, and you also have a successful career, wonderful, sweet family. Many young adults kind of, to me, they seem to like that is a little bit more blessed assurance. Have assurance, you know, assurance in the church. I'm still here in the church life. On the other hand, I'm assured with my, you know, my family is well taken care of. My schooling is taken care of. Saints, a man with two hearts cannot serve the Lord. You cannot have two hearts. Your two hearts only opens up a hole to leak out. And the drifting, right, requires exercise. You have to choose. You have to have a clear vision. And then you have to exercise yourself to pursue the Lord, right? To come to the meeting, to contact the Lord, spend time in the Lord, with the Lord. Yes, I don't mean that you spend a lot of time. I know there has to be some balance. But you cannot go on and hoping that the Lord will bless you, yet you don't spend some time to contact Him, to fellowship with Him. This is a life that we are so burdened for, even in the full-time training, to help the trainees to be built up their root system. We need to be rooted in Christ so that we are not easily wavering, shakable. Just a little change in the environment shake us up, right? So I encourage you that you have to, in order not to drift, you must have a clear vision, to have a clear goal, that this is my life, to live unto the Lord, unto His economy. And you will trust the Lord, He will take care of you. And by saying this, I don't mean you neglect your duty. You still have to do what you have to do. But inwardly, you are very clear. And then what I said also in the conference, you must realize God needs you. God needs man as a channel, as a vessel. He needs an opening from you. But then you also need to take Him. You need to take Him as the center of your life. If you don't have that center clearly fixed in you, it's very easy to waver. This center needs to be established, fixed in your being. And when this center is fixed, then the other things can be balanced. At times, the Lord may want you. You should not neglect. There are certain family situations may need particular attention. Well, and you had to do that. But in taking care of your family, all together, one with the Lord, you can have the assurance to say, even while I have to take care of my family's need, I am not away from the Lord. I'm still joined to the Lord. So as I said, you know, the balance. You cannot say how many hours for this, how many hours for my family, how many hours for my work, how many hours for the church life. You cannot balance it in that way. You balance it by first fixing Christ as your center. Amen. Then the Lord may touch you. It's okay. Your family, your job, you'll be all right. You may not necessarily get the kind of promotion, get the kind of bonuses that you like to, so be it. That's not everything in this world. Your heart, again, I just still come back to this matter, right? The heart has to be right, has to be pure, has to be single, and we have to have a clear goal, and we need to be steadfast. No matter what, dear brothers and sisters, as working saints, however busy you are, you have to maintain your contact with the Lord, your fellowship with the Lord, right? Even though short minutes, I mean 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you have to still exercise to contact, remain in that union with the Lord. Then the Lord will be able to bless you, to lead you, you know, in whatever situation He put us in. I better stop here. Maybe it's still open up for some of you to respond or have some questions. Okay? I don't want to take up all the time. Okay. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Well, as I said, really, there's really no how. The first, every situation is not the same. And, you know, every situation, sometimes when we are in it, seems it's the most impossible situation. And, you know, of course, when we say that you are for the Lord, you are for the church life, for God's economy, it doesn't mean that, you know, you necessarily be able to come to all the meetings as you have been able to. You know, sometimes you may not be able to come to the meetings because of your child's the demand. But I still come back to the matter of your heart, right? The church life today, yes, on superficially speaking, composed of all the meetings, you know, and the services. But the church life is much more than that, right? It composed of saints who are living the Lord, living Christ, even in whatever environment that we are in. I've seen brothers, because of a business that they found themselves, you know, the Lord has measured to them, that was so consuming that actually they were not able to attend meetings for months and even to some extent for years. But I can testify, one of these brothers, their heart is still fixed on the Lord. In the midst of all their busyness, they don't forget, they're calling on the Lord. You know, in any, you know, as even as you're taking care of your crying baby, rocking him, you know, rocking her and feeding her, well, you can be also contacting the Lord, even inwardly. You have to, those are moments you may not be able to set aside, you know, half an hour in the Holy of Holies by yourself to, as you were able to in a full-time training or other, but in the midst of your, you know, in the middle of those duties that you are caring for, if your heart is toward the Lord, is tuned toward the Lord, that you make use of those moments. I know when I and my wife were young parents, we had a child, our firstborn. He had a congenital heart problem, and so he needed special attention. So sometime in the middle of the night, you know, we cannot allow him to cry so much because he has a, you know, because of his heart condition. And so we had to pick, you know, take care of his knees. Sometimes we, you know, took turn, we, you know, rock, you know, sit on the rocking chair, you know, to take care of him. But even as we're just, you know, in the rocking chair, in the middle of the night, you know, those are the times you pray. Those are the times you also call on the Lord inwardly. You have to make use of those times, because you're not going to find other times after that. You'd be so exhausted. But it, you know, but those are the moments you want to make use of. So you know, strictly speaking, there is really no how to address the situation when we are the you find yourself. You know, you put into this environment, you learn to touch the Lord and to thank the Lord that we have seen that Christ, He is a life-giving spirit, right? He is mingled with our spirit wherever we are. He is there with us. Even sometimes you may not be able to go to the meetings physically for a period of time. Doesn't mean that's the end of your Christian life. No, I mean your life continues because you are still joined to the Lord. You are connected to the Lord, right? And the supply comes. And now, of course, you also, you know, you may not have, you know, physically help, you know, that's, and you have brothers and sisters, you know, to pray for you, stand with you. If there's some practical companions who can render some help here and there, you can also, you know, you're not necessarily able to be in the meeting, but the church life, as I said, is not defined just by what you see here in the meeting. You know, it's in the homes of the saints, you know, one by one, we're connected with one another in that way. So we have to learn to also learn how to be properly connected with one another, right, in the body.
Amen.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's the fellowship in the body. You know, we should seek, we should live in the fellowship in the body. Again, the crux lies with the heart. That, you know, sometimes we just, our heart is wicked, right? Who knows it? Sometimes we have some hidden intentions, hidden motives, hidden inclinations.
Right.
We already have something actually set our heart on, but we just kind of go through the motion of checking with people, you know, to get some kind of a confirmation. Hopefully you can hit some confirmation and then, you know, then I can, you know, get that part of actually my preference. But seeking fellowship is not. It's really with an open heart.
Amen.
It's just really, there's nothing, your heart is pure, is open. You really want to seek the body's feeling, right? And, you know, with a genuine openness. That's fellowship. Fellowship is just a flow, to let the body flow through the, you're not here in, you know, trying to select which ones I want to listen and which one I don't want to listen. But you here you realize you are in the body, you need fellowship. You need to open up your situation to the saints, your concern to the saints. But it's your openness that makes that the real fellowship, to allow the Lord to flow into you. Right. Okay. Before I just want to give you these couple of verses also, as Paul mentioned the word drift in chapter 2. In chapter 6, verses 18, 19, and 20, that in order that by two unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement. We who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us, which we have as an anchor of the soul. So if you want to be preserved from any kind of drifting, here Paul also gives us the word of anchoring, right? This is the anchoring. We have an anchor of the soul, both secure and firm, and which enters within the veil, where the forerunner Jesus has entered for us, having become forever a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So to prevent ourselves from drifting, we need to have our anchor. The anchor to enter within the veil.
Amen.
When Jesus, our forerunner, has already made it, and he is there as our high priest. So let us keep coming forward to him, right? To cast our anchor into him.
Amen.